This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to This Muslim Girls Podcast. This is Noor. I'm excited to have this episode finally uploaded. I don't think I've received so many messages of people telling me, when is this episode going to be up? When is this episode going to be up? So, alhamdulillah, I finally got to it. It's been a journey to get this episode up just because I've been really busy. But I actually split this into two parts. So this is part one, and part two will be uploaded shortly after. I'm not sure when, but it should be sooner because it's already edited. And before I get started introducing my guest, I just wanted to wish everyone and all my listeners who are going to be celebrating or taking part in the month of Ramadan that inshallah it is a blessed month and a very rewarding time for you all and for myself. With that being said, I want to introduce my guest, Huda Fahmi, who is a 33-year-old hilarious woman. She lives in Texas with her husband, Gihad, and her 2-year-old son, and she's the creator and illustrator behind the webcomic series, Yes, I'm Hot in This. Huda's comics follow the misadventures of her eponymous character and give perspective on the life of a slightly sweaty American hijabi. If you aren't already, make sure that you follow her on Instagram. She's already at 170,000 followers, which is pretty incredible. Huda was born and raised in Michigan and attended the University of Michigan, where she majored in English. She then taught English for 8 years in Michigan and in Texas before shifting roles and using her art to enlighten and entertain. She has been featured in several online publications, including The Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, Affinity Magazine, and, well, now This Muslim Girl Podcast. Well, first of all, thank you for even doing this. Like, the rapid response from you was really refreshing, and I was just like, oh, you know, maybe I'll get a response later on. I was very grateful for that.
I'm so glad that you contacted me, because the other podcast was a non-Muslim, and it's funny, I actually haven't gotten approached by a lot of Muslims.
Really?
Like, you know, like BuzzFeed did a thing about me, and Huffington posted a thing about me, and a bunch of other, like Affinity and Runner's Magazine, and like a lot of non-Muslim corporations, or I don't know what you would call them, reached out and they wanted to do interviews, but like no Muslim organization wanted. Yeah. So when you, and I was like, man, I really wish somebody would, and maybe, and I wanted, like, I tried to contact some other people, but I just didn't. I get a lot of people messaging me, but not Muslim.
No, I've honestly, like, usually around the time that I wake up is, I think, it's like you're one of my usual, like, first posts.
Oh, okay.
And it literally, like, I wake up with a smile, wallah. And one of my good friends, Hiba, I always notice she likes your posts. And so as soon as, like, I knew I was going to record with you, I messaged her and I was like, Hiba, something exciting is about to happen. And she was like, Noor, are you going to get engaged? And I was like, no.
Better.
No. Exactly right. Even something more exciting. I'm going to, you know, record a podcast with Huda. Well, I said, yes, I'm hot in this. But I love the content of your page. I think it's so refreshing. So you describe your page as a webcomic about the musings of a slightly sweaty Muslim American. Can you tell us a little bit just about yourself and kind of how it started?
Sure. I am 33, almost 33. I'll be 33 this month. And I am a native of Dearborn, Michigan. I am originally from Michigan.
I did not know you were from Michigan.
Yes, that's nice. Where I'm from. And oh, yeah. It's very nice. But I will never go back there. Like, it's the winters. Too harsh. I majored in English. I went to the University of Michigan. I went to law school after that, but I just decided, truthfully, I lost my scholarship. It was a full ride, and I didn't want to take out any loans. And so I was like, oh, I guess that's, that wasn't meant for me. So I that same year that I lost the scholarship, wondering what was I going to do, I was offered a teaching position in Ann Arbor. And so I was like, sweet. And I taught English, which is what I majored in anyway. And it was something that I ended up doing for like 8 years before I had my son. But before that, like the way I got into this was I'd always wanted to be, a writer. I was always, social justice and standing up for other people and you know, things like that was, you know, understanding where we stood in society was something that I was surrounded with my entire life, just living in Dearborn, living in an Arab and Muslim community, like going to all these protests and going to, you know, everything, anytime anything ever happened in any country, like, or any injustice that dealt with Muslims, especially after like 9/11, it was very tense. And instead of like cowering and backing away, my family was very much into like standing up for our rights and making sure that our voices were heard and making sure that we stand up for like the little people. And that was something that was just, you know, ingrained in me from a very young age. So I always wanted to do something to help the cause. And so I wanted to write. I wanted to start writing like short stories. And I've always had a sense of humor, and I always liked, I've always liked seeing things like, you know, these like skits and these shows on like late night where they're able to tackle these serious issues, but with humor. And you can always make people, you know, if you can make people laugh, you can get to them, you know, you can reach them. So that was always something I wanted to do. So, you know, I started writing about stuff that had happened to me and looking at it in a funny way. And it wasn't, I would post it to Facebook and my sister was like, you know, you should maybe try turning these into comics instead. Cause I've also loved comics since I was a kid. So, and when I say that to people, I say I love comics, they think Spider-Man, Superman, like stuff like that. I meant like Sunday comics, you know, like Garfield.
Yeah, like in the newspapers.
Yeah, like in the newspaper. You know, Calvin and Hobbes, The Far Side, you know. Those were like my favorites growing up, and to be able to tell, it's such a skill to be able to tell, I thought, like a story and a funny story in like 4 to 6 panels. It's so hard, but if you can do it and you can make people laugh, then that's awesome. And that's kind of what I really wanted to do. And I know
you do it well. You really do.
Sometimes that, I'll be honest, sometimes it's not done well. And I feel like in order to keep up engagement, I have to like pump out a lot of comics. So sometimes they're not that they're not that funny. They're like, what was she thinking? but I try. And so that's kind of, so it segued or from, not segued, excuse me, it just pivoted from like short stories to comics. And then I did.
Were your short stories, were they, was there art to it or was it just?
No, it was just the short stories. They were just short stories. And I actually compiled a few of them and sent them off to different agents. And hopefully, I hope one of them would like want to represent me and you know, publish my stories. And nobody, like a few responded, a lot didn't. One of them was like, nobody knows you, like nobody's gonna care if you did this. So I was like, okay, like I expected, you know, rejection. So
you should reach out to that person now.
I really should. I should be like, by the way, I think I still have her. But anyway, I wouldn't do that. But my character's petty. I feel like I live vicariously through her. Like she says those things that I only wish I could say. I wish we could all say.
But I know, honestly, sometimes I read the stuff and I'm like, I have to meet this girl because I wonder if she is like this in person, because that would be amazing. She like your alter ego.
She is. Yeah. I tell people that. Like my alter ego comes out at night. Like in the morning, in the daytime, I'm mild mannered. Like at night, I'm hot.
Yes, I'm hot in this. She's Hoda too, though, still, right?
She is. There's definitely a part of her that is me. But there, like the part of her that I feel like can say whatever she wants, or not say whatever, say exactly what she's thinking at the exact right time. Mm-hmm. That part is always, you know, I struggle to say what I want to say, and I always come up with the best comebacks, you know, later, and like, oh, I should have said that. But then it turns into a comic, and I have my character say that. Like,
so you kind of, in a way, end up getting to say what you want to say, in a different way. Do you ever, like, are you ever out and, like, something happens to you and you immediately, like, think, like, oh, this is totally going to become?
Oh, sure. I have a notes section in my phone that's just full of ideas. Like, that stuff happens to me. I'm like,
amazing.
You know, like, I just start writing, like, this is a comic. And my friends are always joking, like, if something happens, oh, Hoda, is this going to be a comic? And yes, it is. They're careful now around me.
So, did you expect at all when you started, like, your Instagram page? Because I'm assuming that's where it's the most popular on that platform. Did you expect it to kind of blow up the way that it did?
Yes, but not as quickly. I had a very specific goal in my mind that I was going to make this big because I'd been following dozens of webcomics on Instagram for as long as I've had Instagram, and which is a long time. And I knew that this was missing. There was something that was missing, and it was like hijabis being represented specifically in comics anywhere, represented without the context of terrorism or feminism or having some, you know, savior, you know, or something like that. So I was like, I need to look up how to make it happen. So I started reading and researching and figuring out what were some of the tricks of the trade to, like, you know, become big on Instagram or grow followers on Instagram. I initially got I got encouraged by Facebook is where I first started, and I got like 3,000 followers within a couple months. No, within a few days, actually. I got it within a few days. I had like 3,000 followers. And it's ironic because I stopped growing on Facebook. And even though I continued to post, I stopped growing on Facebook, and I like
on completely, Instagram.
Yeah. I'm going to avoid saying the.
Yeah. I said it.
Oh, did
I edit it out? I'm just kidding.
No, I don't care.
I'm joking.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. Darius, if you're listening. Yeah, okay. We're joking. But
actually, between you and I, one of them has taken a break, so it's just one on duty right now.
It's good. You're right. You're right. When I don't know how they picked who would go on break. You're welcome. Whoever. But they're looking at us probably through the camera. My mom puts so much paranoia. I know we're totally on a tangent, but like,
no,
she, I have, you cover, I cover my camera.
I
with
don't,
like,
and my brother's always like, you should.
My mom freaked me out. And then after this whole Facebook thing with the whole, I forgot, I can't even remember the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about, like the whole data breach, and they can, but that they can see everything, and like you're calling and texting, and it was like, oh, the camera.
Weird, but I try not to think about it.
And everyone's like, I had somebody comment on one of the FBI ones, well, if you have nothing to hide, and you should have nothing to be afraid of. And my husband was just like, privilege. And like, and I told him, I was like, some of these people that say this stuff aren't even, like, they're not white. And he's like, that's not what I'm talking about when I say privilege. He's like, even if you're like brown or Muslim or whatever, to him, privilege is you were lucky enough to never have experienced something like being randomly selected or frisked for no reason. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you've had that privilege. So you would never understand
why. You don't know what it's like to be violated.
Exactly. And what was I saying?
Well, we were talking about your Instagram and how it blew up.
I mean, yes. Oops. You already said it. It's all right. No big deal. It did blow up. Blew up huge. Bigly. And so I researched, I read books, I tried to figure out what were the ways to make a following. I tried to better my craft. I tried to learn more and more every day. Like you can see from the very first post to now, like the difference
she's kind of evolved in her drawing. And then I think you kind of, as I've noticed, is you've kind of adjusted to whatever updates Instagram has. So now that you know, it's probably been a while, but the adding of multiple photos, so you now kind of keep everything in one frame so people can slide, and I think that's really cool. I'm like really geeked out, like sliding, like, okay. Well, I'm not even joking to you. So yeah, I've seen, and she's evolved. I've noticed that, like, for a while you tried maybe in the very beginning the hijab kind of changed, but now she's pretty
She's always had blue. She's always been a blue hijabi.
No, I think there's a pink one, like at the very beginning.
I don't think that was her, though.
Oh, is that someone else? Her.
Yeah, that might have been just somebody else looking like just. See, that's why I have to be more. Yeah, another hijabi. I have to be more careful. But she's always. I made that very conscious decision. She would always be blue on blue.
So we would know that that's her.
That was her. And a lot of people ask, why doesn't she change? And I'm like, you don't ask that about, like, the Simpsons characters who wear the same outfits every single episode.
Oh, is it an Islamist thing?
Are you guys allowed to wear other colors? Yes, guys, come on. Like, it's just to make it easier for me to draw. Like, I don't ever have to make, like, I don't need any other complications when I draw. I know she's going to wear a blue scarf. I know her abaya is going to be blue.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
A lot of people, you know how those Q&As I do, those boomerang Q&As?
Yes, I saw them. No, they're hilarious. I was actually going to
bring
that up.
They're all real.
Oh, and I believe it. It's very relatable. Especially like people, the one where you were like, how many do you have? And you're like showcasing how many. No, legit. Like if I could wear this, like there's a hijab that I will buy the same one. And it's black because I love to wear black.
But I'm talking about like questions
like hate, you know, but other questions that are kind of like microaggressions.
Like, somebody asked, and these are all questions from my DMs, and they asked like, can your son see your hair? And to us, that's like, well, that's a stupid question, you know, but I'll answer it. Cause you know, more than one person has asked it. So, okay. People don't know the answer. So I'll answer. And then I'll get you'd be so surprised how many other messages, responses I get to that story where they'll be like, who would ask that? Like, that's crazy. Nobody would ask that. And then I'd get an equal amount that are like, thank you so much for answering that question. I always wanted to know, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I want to like put these two guys together so they see that people like, ask
Who would ask this? Here, meet this person.
Here you go. This person
asked it.
You're grateful. Yeah.
So I feel like just in recent times, especially with, you know, having access or having accessibility to a lot of information through the internet, we're able to really put ourselves out there as Muslim women to the point where we don't necessarily have to be out physically in front of someone for them to be able to approach us and ask us a question. But also, there's kind of like that comfort in sending a DM rather than approaching you in person and randomly, like, you know, you're at a grocery store and someone says, hey, by the way, can your son see you without that on? You know what I mean? So yeah, we really get to see sometimes how much ignorance or how much lack of knowledge there is when it comes to.
I think you're right. I think lack of knowledge more than ignorant. Ignorance. There are some really ignorant questions, and I know you're saying what you said, but I like a lot of the questions are just lack of knowledge. Like things to us that we would never even that are so common sense, but of course they're common sense to us. I mean, we grew up with this, we know this, but.
Oh, and speaking about your little boomerangs or the Q&A that you did, just because they're still on your highlights, which thank you, Instagram, for creating highlights. I know, because everyone can go and check it out there, but they're hilarious. I really appreciate the way that you can take some of these, like, questions that people might not know how to react to them well, and you make them funny. And I think that helps, too, because it allows people to see you as being more approachable, Muslim women being more approachable. And you kind of really do highlight our experience in a very different way. You know, your little personal vignettes and your experiences. And
thank you. I honestly, even till now, like, it's so weird for me to hear people saying that they can relate. But I did. It took a while for me to reach that level of acceptance that, hey, if I'm feeling this, then there are probably other people out there that are thinking this or feeling this as well. But there's also that like little part of me that wonders, like, okay, maybe I am the only one who finds this, you know, humorous or funny. Yeah, maybe some people are, you know, I do get messages that, oh, that's too inappropriate, or you're not supposed to laugh at something like that, or hey, you need to take this more seriously, or oh, you know, you're the voice now of you suddenly become the voice of the ummah because you have this following. So I mean, to a point, they're correct, but it's also like, hey, we can also laugh at these things too. I mean, it's okay to laugh at these situations and some of these questions, and I think it does put people at ease, and it does help them see that, you know, well, here's my big thing is I'm not going to compromise what I believe in for a laugh, and at the same time, I want people to know that that I'm not just like all serious, or Muslims, like Muslim hijabis are not like all serious all the time, like
Well, you're never going to please everyone. You're always going to have that one person or that's five true. Who are going to tell you that it's too much. Going back to what I was saying earlier is, do you face any criticism or the response that you've had so far to your comics, I guess, good and bad?
Well, I've had a majority, honestly, overwhelmingly positive response. People people can relate, which is something that I'm happy about. It starts conversations, dialogues, which I'm so excited about, because honestly, that's like the first step. You know, it's getting over what you don't you know, fear comes from not understanding. So the first step to understanding is just asking a question. And so alhamdulillah, I'm just really glad that's what my comics are serving, kind of acting almost like a springboard for people to ask questions and start a dialogue. And I don't necessarily even have to answer them. People in the comment section start answering them, or, you know, at the very least, people come away thinking, oh, okay, like there are different opinions to this. There's not just like one clear cut. Maybe what I see on TV is not what Islam is all about. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, it's for me, it's opening them up to, there's such a diverse, so much diversity in Islam, in the ways that people interpret things. And I might believe in one interpretation wholeheartedly, and other people might believe in another interpretation, but like I said, at the very least, they'll see that, okay, there's more than one way to interpret this, and that people, you know, who are representing us horribly, you know, across the world, and we know where, and I don't want to say, but they're not like the end all be all of what Islam is. So I've gotten a lot of really great positive reactions. And then, of course, there's the negative ones. The ones specifically were like, you're not allowed to draw. You're going to go to hell because you're drawing. God's going to ask you to breathe soul into your creation, and you're not going to do it. You're going to go to hellfire. Jeez. And I'm like, okay.
Do you even respond to those?
Oh, no. I used to back when I had very, it was part of the tricks of gaining a following is responding to almost every DM and trying to create this community. And I still respond to DMs, but the ones that are now just, they're not trying to start a conversation. They've already made up their mind. And it's more out of almost hate than it is out of trying to make a difference or trying to change me. Mm-hmm. There are some who are very polite about it, and I'll respond to them and I'll thank them, because as a Muslim, we are supposed to be open to criticism, and we are supposed to be, you know, accepting of nasiha or advice when it's given correctly and appropriately. So I'm totally open for having a dialogue about, you know, if you see me doing something wrong, please let me know. And if you know, you can do it in a way that's so offensive and so shut me down, like I will shut down and will not respond to you at all. But then there's people who are incredibly sweet and nice, and they just want to understand, and they want to tell me what their opinion is. And we have a discourse and we talk about it. So I'm not close to talking about differences of opinions and even changing my opinions or letting me approach something in a different way. But the ones that I get that are like, you know,
just
they're going
request.
Hellfire. Like, okay, yeah, exactly. I'm not going to. And then, of course, I get the haters who tell me, you know, go kill yourself. And, you know, you're the C word. And
wow.
That I'm. Oh,
I wouldn't have expected that, but I guess.
Yeah, no, I got one. I think the one that made me laugh, there was one that was like, go F a goat, you mother effer goat lover, something like that. And I was like, I just started laughing because it was, I can't even tell you why it made me laugh, because how do you put so much time and hate into a comment to somebody you don't even know? Like, you don't even know me. And like, it's like, you know, we heard this so many times, the internet makes people brave, and you know, they don't see that I'm a real person, and they would never say this to me in real life, unless they were, of course, in a crowd probably and couldn't, you know, seen. But I couldn't believe it. It was so funny and so stupid. I screenshot all of them, by the way. In case anything happens, I make sure to have something.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, then I get those. And then Instagram made it much easier to kind of filter the hate. Like, I only people who follow me can comment. So if they're
that something that you adjusted, or
they added this? And so I went into the settings, and I was told by one of my friends who works at Instagram. She told me to do this. So you go into the settings, you go into the comment section, and you can change it so that only people who follow you and only people you follow can comment on your stuff, which it almost erased all of the hate.
Well, because there's people out there that literally basically fish for Muslim content. So that, because I know I've posted things before where someone like immediately jumped on some, I don't even know how they found me, and immediately they just like started talking about Trump.
If you use a hashtag, if you make it to the explore page,
it's the hashtags, I think.
Yeah,
for me,
they just look for the hashtags. I had like three or four, I don't know how long you've been following me, but I had three or four posts that were reported and taken down, even though they did not violate.
What was the content?
Do you know my troll one, the one where someone's like, oh, you Muslim terrorist, blah, 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 and mine, and I have like, she's like a SpongeBob meme where she's like, oh, no, you did.
Yeah.
Got taken down. I put it back. Another one where there was some guy who's like, hey, raghead. And I'm like, new rag, who dis? And that one got taken down. I love my followers. They're so amazing. Like, people are so talented. I'm just like, they're so talented. They're so kind. They're so friendly. They're so generous.
When you say talented, is it like their response to your...
Because a lot of them, I'm when I say a lot of my followers, I'm thinking of their, they draw this fan art, these fan arts for me.
Yeah, I saw your post, yeah.
I can't, and it's like, can you imagine, like, that somebody took the time to take something that they thought that they loved so much, and they turned it into their interpretation. So flattered, and I love it. I love it. They're so amazing. So it was just something, and then, like, some of the message that I get of people thanking me and telling me how, you know, a lot of people are like, I want to wear hijab, or you make it easier now for me to wear hijab, or you, you know, oh my God, that just makes me cry. Like, I can't even believe that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to have this platform to even make
a difference.
Do you ever
just, like, read those messages and, like, literally not know what to do with yourself? Because sometimes I read messages like that, and I'm just like, don't say this to me, like, I'm not sure how to react yet. Give me a second.
Oh, yeah. Goosebumps. I get goosebumps. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But, yeah, sometimes I don't know how to say. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what to say.
You know, my favorite emoji is the cry emoji. I just send that, like.
Like, it's a thank you. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I love that.
That's probably what my response would be in person. But yeah. Speaking of, the fan art and stuff, the illustrations, you create those?
I do.
And
like,
did you,
like my comics?
Yes, your comics. Yes. So yeah. did you have to, like, do any type of research or, like, any self-learning when it came to that? Because you say you were a writer, but did you ever dabble in
When I first got married, I actually bought a sketchbook. Do you want to see it? I know your listeners can't see it. I'm sorry, listeners. But
it's okay. I feel really special right now.
I bought the sketchbook. This is when I got married 7 years ago, and I didn't have a job when I moved to Texas. And so I told my husband, I said, hey, maybe, you know, I've always liked cartoons and comics. Maybe I can become a cartoonist or draw, like, a Muslim comic. Like, this is, like, and I totally forgot about this because I got a job 2 years later. And so I started drawing, and these are, like, very first. I'm going to put down the mic, and I hope it doesn't.
It's okay.
Make noise. I'll bring it to you. So these are the first drawings.
Oh, my God. I wish everyone could see this.
It's, like, hold on. Like, I don't even know what, like, my ideas were.
Oh, the chest hair on that man.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be like, what is she drawing?
So that's how it started. That's it kind of, I always wanted to do this, but then it just kind of went away. And then when my sister gave me the idea to turn my stories into comics, I started to do a little more research. I started to look at the other comics that I follow and what they look like. And I went online and I, like, how do you draw comics? And Adobe Illustrator was the first thing that popped up. And so we subscribed to Adobe Illustrator, and I started drawing with a mouse, and which was so hard. I started drawing, which is what you would see from the very beginning. My first digital comics were drawn with a mouse. I first actually drew by hand, uploaded it, you know, scanned it, uploaded it, and then uploaded it to Facebook that way. Then I was like, okay, this looks terrible. Let me try uploading it and tracing over it and then sending it in. Mm-hmm. And that looks somewhat better. And then I was like, why am I even drawing it and upload it? Let me just try drawing it directly. So my husband bought me this, like, tablet. It's a Wacom Intuos tablet, if anyone's curious. And I use Adobe Illustrator to draw on my Mac. And and then it just, the more you do it, the better you become. And I definitely look up, like, different tutorials, and I had no idea how to use Illustrator, and it's apparently much more difficult than Photoshop.
It is.
Which I think is the opposite. Every time I try to, I use Photoshop, I can't. I'm like, how does this work? I'm so
really
used to,
I'm the
so
opposite. I find that Photoshop is easier, but I guess it's really what you got used to and what you started using.
Yes, I learned with Adobe Illustrator first, so I don't know. What am I say? I try to focus more on the joke than I do on the drawing. So the art itself is maybe a little lazy sometimes, but
you're really focusing on the content, so I feel like that is
it's
the
not
focus,
like,
and it's.
Yeah,
but I know I love the simplicity of, you know, the art. I really do. Do you create and bank them, like, or do you just kind of make them as you go? Because I feel like you're post daily, or at least more recently you have been posting daily.
I try to post daily. If I don't have a new one, I'll repost an old one. Okay. But I draw. So something that I read about was if you feel like you're stuck, is, you know how, like, people improv?
Yeah.
They'll be given a scene. So one way to improv in comics is to just draw out your panels and just start writing and then wait until you kind of get to a joke or wait until you get to something funny. You start like just improv your a conversation. And that's kind of how I came up with the Dr. Nebet and the inflatable couch thing.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the last one, right? Yeah.
The last one was Darius.
No, that one was the sofa.
Yeah.
The blow up sofa.
the other one
is the doctor when you were like when you're the one who told her to get it. Yes. Okay.
Yes, when I'm trying to like sell it and she's like, "Don't do this, Hoda. Don't." Based on my best friend who is a doctor and she's very much the more pragmatic one.
Is every character someone that you know? Because even like the coworker, the Caucasian woman that's always asking you. Yeah, Susan.
Susan. No, I don't know. I don't know a Susan.
Oh, really?
The only Susan I know is Suzanne, and she's like this Muslim lady. I haven't seen her in years. But Susan was just, she's kind of like a conglomeration. Everybody packed in one.
Of all these different experiences.
Every single, yeah, exactly. Like it was going to be too much to draw all these different types of people. So I was like, I'm just going to make it one person who says the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like it's going to be Susan, sorry. But then here's the difference. Susan is like a frenemy. You know, she's a friend and an enemy at the same time. So nothing that she says is like is actually.
It's not hatred. You don't get a sense of hatred. You just get a sense of like the comical.
Ignorant, like dumb. You know, really? Yeah, exactly. Like that's it. So there are other characters that do say hateful things. And I don't draw Susan that way because Susan is like, she's like, in fact, like a real person that is trying to understand and yet continues to fall into the same trap of believing whatever she sees or reads online and still has a hard time believing you when you tell her, no, I am not oppressed, you know, but she doesn't hate you. She's just like trying to overcome her own biases and prejudice and stuff like that. I get a lot of people who are like, oh, I hope I'm not a Susan. I'm like, just the fact that you say that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Like just the fact that you say that means you're not. You're not.
I was thinking the opposite.
You are. No, I was like, no, the other way. You're not. If you're aware of it, then you're probably not. But then I feel like people, when they see her, I don't want them to feel like, oh, I've had these kind of questions. Does that make me a Susan? Does that mean that I'm like, I can't ask these kind of questions anymore? And I don't want people to think they can't ask these kind of questions because then they'll never learn. Like, go ahead and ask. And if the person that you ask doesn't want to answer, they don't have to answer. Like, that's just all you gotta know. And if they answer snarkily, like, if they're snarky about it, then probably need to check your question and see if you were,
take a step back, reflect, think about it.
Exactly.
If you've enjoyed this episode so far, stay tuned because part two will be uploaded shortly after this one. As always, you can follow This Muslim Girl podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Make sure you subscribe so that you can get notified when a new episode is uploaded.